pieces by. Go to pieces and I cry every time my baby passes by. Go to pieces and I cry.
Peter and Gordon, local news and time of this hits, WRJN. Thank you for being here today. Here's something I never would have thought. Corey Feldman, you know who Corey Feldman is, the actor? Estranged wife revealed that he makes six figures every month. That's more than $280,000, in fact. She's asking him for $5,000 a month in spousal support. Courtney, his ex-wife, says he makes more than $280,000 in movie and TV residuals, touring and appearances and merchandise. All I know is The Goonies, Stand By Me, The Burbs, and Lost Boys. That money must be really good, because I can't think of any other movie that he made. $280,000 a month.
Local news and timeless.
Let's check news.
WRJN, Racine, Kenosha.
This is the CBS News World News Roundup, sponsored by O'Reilly Auto Parts.
I'm Deborah Rodriguez, coming to grips with life after Hurricane Helene.
I've lived in this community my whole life. I never thought I would see water where there's water today.
Jeremy Knighton is assistant fire chief in Asheville, North Carolina.
This exceeded the 500-year flood for us. Our gauges wouldn't even register as high as what the water rose.
Officials in the Carolinas described the destruction as apocalyptic. At least 116 people were killed. 600 miles of the South, millions of homes and businesses have no power. CBS's Jason Allen is in Cedar Key, Florida.
Helene broke storm surge records when it made landfall in the Big Bend region Thursday night. Statewide, crews have conducted thousands of rescue missions. Further south in Cedar Key, officials say it's not safe for residents or rescue workers. Access to the barrier islands west of Tampa just opened to residents. Officials say communities there have no power, no water, and catastrophic flood damage.
The deputy leader of Hezbollah is vowing to continue the fight against Israel after acknowledging Israeli airstrikes have killed the group's leader and other top brass. Sheikh Naeem Qassem through an interpreter.
The Islamic resistance will continue to confront the Israeli enemy in solidarity with Gaza and Palestine, in defense of Lebanon and its people.
Major ports along the East and Gulf coasts are getting ready for a possible strike at midnight by tens of thousands of dock workers. Cornell labor expert Kate Bronfenbrenner.
We can assume that the acting secretary of labor and others from the labor department are very involved in trying to get a settlement, because I think it's such a big issue for the economy. A longshore strike affects every industry.
Vice President Harris has canceled a campaign stop today for a meeting with FEMA officials on Hurricane Helene response. Donald Trump will be in Valdosta, Georgia for a briefing on damage there. Their running mates are prepping for their first and only likely debate tomorrow night at our CBS News broadcast center in New York. Former New York Democratic County lawmaker Josh Lafazette.
If we look at American history of politics, you know, vice presidential debates are always not materially impactful on the election. 2024 really is the exception.
Officials in North Carolina reporting a deadly small plane crash in an airport in Kill Devil Hills. Ryan Enders with the NTSB.
The aircraft made a left turn and impacted trees adjacent to the left side of the runway. The impact resulted in a post-crash fire, and the five occupants sustained fatal injuries.
The airport is near the site of a national memorial honoring aviation's pioneering brothers, Orville and Wilbur Wright. S&P futures down 6. This is CBS News.
Think O'Reilly Auto Parts for all your car care needs. Get the parts and service you need fast from the professional parts people at O'Reilly Auto Parts.
WRJN News is brought to you by Prosser's Premium RV Outlet in Sturtevant. Voted Wisconsin's best RV dealer. Lowest prices ever right now. ProsserRV.com.
From the WRJN Radio Park Newsroom, I'm Stuart J. Waddles. Six Racine City Council members have announced a boycott of future meetings. In a joint statement, the third of the council is citing concerns over the mayor's control over the council's agenda as their main issue. The group, including Melissa Caprillion, Jeff Coe, Olivia Davis, Sandy Widener, Renee Kelly, and Henry Perez, are demanding changes to rules that allow Mayor Corey Mason to restrict items from reaching the council floor. The boycott threatens to disrupt city business. The mayor hasn't yet commented. A suspect has been arrested in connection with the bomb threat targeting Racine County government buildings. Several facilities had to close 1 week ago today. Police say 29-year-old Devon Kessler was identified through an international investigation involving multiple law enforcement agencies, some in Canada. Sheriff's investigators say they executed a search warrant and arrested Kessler at his workplace last week. They say he did confess. And Michigan Governor Gretchen Whitmer rallied supporters in Waukesha yesterday. She stressed that the Harris-Waltz campaign's focus is on creating prosperity for all Americans. Former President Donald Trump is back in the state tomorrow. He's scheduled to speak at Discovery World in Milwaukee tomorrow at 5. And that's what you need to know. I'm Stuart J. Waddles. News at the top and bottom of the hour, or anytime at WRJN.com.
Attention RV enthusiasts. The end of summer RV liquidation sale at Prosser's Premium RV Outlet in Sturtevant means prices are the lowest ever. More than 150 new motorhomes and campers, class A, B, C, toy haulers, bunkhouses, fifth wheel, travel trailers, teardrops, and more. There's something for everyone. Trades welcome, no reasonable offer refused. Lowest prices in the country on in-stock inventory. Your journey awaits. Call 262-898-2610 or visit ProsserRV.com.
The Packers fall to 2-2. Hi, I'm Jimmy Cusco with sports, filling in for Mike Clemens. Minnesota led Green Bay 28-0 at the half, but the Packers were able to move the ball and put up points in the second half before falling short against the Vikings 31-29. Coach Matt LaFleur said the team started slow but finished strong.
Unfortunately, we just didn't get enough completions, but I did think he looked, as the game went, it seemed to me that he looked more and more comfortable. We made more explosive plays, which is tough to do when a team's sitting back in two shell.
Green Bay heads to L.A. to play the Rams on Sunday. The Milwaukee Brewers are off today as they await their postseason opponent. The Mets and Braves play a doubleheader today to determine postseason seeding. A sweep by either team means the Brewers get Arizona. A split means Milwaukee faces the Mets tomorrow. First pitch is just after 4:30 in Milwaukee tomorrow. And after dropping two games, the 2-2 Badgers host Purdue on Saturday with an 11 a.m. kickoff. Filling in for Mike Clemens, I'm Jimmy Cusco with Civic Media Sports.
WRJN Sports with Mike Clemens is sponsored hourly by Pottawatomie Hotel Casino. Learn more online at paysbig.com.
Mostly sunny today. We're headed to 74 for a high this afternoon. The wind out of the east to south at around 5 to 15. Tonight, partly cloudy, 59. A cold front's going to zip through late tonight. Tomorrow, sunny, breezy, and a bit cooler with a high of only 68. I'm meteorologist Sean Cable. Current temp, 62.
I don't use my gym. Do you use your gym? I wander in every 3 months and I go, I don't know how to do this. My entire workout, the whole thing, this is the discipline I have. The whole thing is based on whatever machine is open. That's how I do it. I walk around like a lost toddler for 3.5 minutes, and then I go, I guess I'm going to do neck today. Just going to do all neck. I'm just going to bang out a few on the scoliosis machine over here. Just... That's all I do. I do 3 sets of neck, both sides, and then I go home. And it costs $750. So if you could please let me out, just please. He said, if you don't want to come in and cancel in person, there's a second way to cancel my gym membership. This is what he said. You can write a letter. Write a letter. I was furious. You know why? Because I didn't sign this contract during the Civil War.
And good morning. It's 7:08 at WRJN, local news and timeless hits. And with me is Susan Fearlock. I'm saying that right, right?
Correct.
Fearlock. Like, it's not spelled like that,
no,
though.
No, it's like afraid and bolt the door.
So I don't want that associated with my name. So how many times a day do you have to tell people how to pray? Because it's not spelled like that.
No, no. When we order pizza, it's F-E-A-R. It's just easier.
And it's L-A-A-C-K.
Both German. Both German names. Mm-hmm.
So I would have changed my name to be F-E-A-R-L-O-C-K.
But it's an interesting conversation starter.
Oh, yes. I think it's an ender. Okay, so you're with Racine Neighborhood Watch.
Correct.
I've got to ask you, do people mind their own business or do they really report stuff?
They really report stuff.
Okay.
People like to be involved in what's going on with their neighborhoods. And what at Racine Neighborhood Watch we do is we help people understand how to look for suspicious activity or out of the ordinary things in a neighborhood and how to feel comfortable and confident reporting that to law enforcement.
I watched something the other day that really upset me. He was on that Court Cam TV show with Abrams. What's his name? Dan Abrams. And in there, it was an old one. I remember seeing it before. The guy, he was with Crime Stoppers. Now, Crime Stoppers is an anonymous thing where you can anonymously report a crime. So he was at the trial of the guy, and they got him through Crime Stoppers, and the judge says, I want to know who reported him.
Can't.
Well, so the guy from Crime Stoppers took the piece of paper with the name and ate the piece of paper in front of the judge. Judge says, contempt of court, take him to jail.
Yeah, Crime Stoppers, that is the redeeming part about them is that they, when they say a report is anonymous, it's anonymous.
Why would the judge demand it and hold you in contempt of court if you don't supply the name? I mean, what's the, I mean, the judge should have realized that if you do that kind of stuff, you're putting an end to Crime Stoppers.
Yeah, yeah. But again, that's the beauty part. When, well, Racine Neighborhood Watch this year took Crime Stoppers of Racine County under our umbrella. And so that's part of the education as well that we are offering going forward is how to use Crime Stoppers. There are three different ways you can use Crime Stoppers. You can call them by using the phone number. There is a website where if you want to type up a whole report, or they have a free P3 tip with an S app where you can upload pictures or anything like that. The beauty part is when you call in, you will be assigned a number and the information is scrubbed. So it goes, for example, up to Canada and maybe down to California before it finally gets here. And when it does get here, it goes in front of a designated law enforcement officer on the Racine Police Department. People say, well, how do I get a reward? Because you can be awarded a reward of up to $1,000. But people think, well, that means somebody's got to call me. Well, no, they can't call you and say, oh, guess what? We solved this murder. You're getting money for it. You are assigned a number and it's you as the reporter or tipster's responsibility call in and say, hey, I'm number ABC123. Have I been awarded any money? And truthfully, Don, most people don't take the reward. They are there.
I wouldn't take it.
But the idea is some people just don't want to be identified.
Now, when you do the Neighborhood Watch program, I see a lot of suspicious things when I walk around. And you'll say, huh, I never noticed that person on that porch before. You can't be calling the cops on everybody. First of all, suspicious is not a crime.
Correct.
I mean, just because you look suspicious, they can't identify you. They can't do anything because you didn't commit a crime. But I see a lot of things all day long that look suspicious. You can't be. How do you know when to call the cops?
Well, you
unless you see somebody, you know, carrying a dead body out to their car. I mean, other than that, how do you know?
Well, there are a lot of different things that we talk about, but living in the neighborhood that you do, you are the resident expert of who and what belongs and who and what doesn't. So if you see something that's suspicious, you might think, hey, that's not right. I'll watch it again tomorrow to see if that's happening. If it's happening twice, then you go, maybe I should call in. The thing is, we want neighbors to feel empowered when they see suspicious activity or suspicious people in their neighborhood to call law enforcement and use the non-emergency number and report it. Because think about it, they create a database with all this information, and the more information they have, even bits and pieces, when they are investigating a crime or going out to a call and they pull up that information on their computer, they can say, oh, hey, look, Don reported this. Another neighbor reported this person as suspicious. A third person reported this as suspicious. Let's see if we have probable cause to stop and talk to that person.
I'll tell you how it backfired. A friend of mine, off the air, I'll tell you who it was. You won't know the person, I'll tell you anyway. It backfired. A friend of mine saw this person looking in the windows of a neighbor's house. And he went, the guy was going from window to window to window, looking in the windows, called the police. Police came. The guy didn't speak English. They handcuffed him, put him on the step there. It turns out he was the owner of the house. That was his father. And he didn't speak English. And he was looking to see if anybody was home because his plane just came in. And he landed there and they weren't there to meet him. And he came to the house and they handcuffed him. And the person, the friend said, I mean, how do you apologize? I had this guy's father handcuffed. These are dear friends of mine. And I had him sitting there handcuffed. This happened several years ago. And this same person reported the suspicious truck in front of our house. Police came, gave it a ticket. Turns out it was a new truck that his neighbor bought. This is the second time he called the cops on his neighbors. And I mean, you know, it was suspicious. Somebody looking in the windows. I know, but in the end, it turned out, oh, brother, what did you do by calling the police on this poor family?
You know,
twice.
It's okay to be wrong. And I had an issue where I was out taking my dog early in the morning. And of course, I'm the neighborhood block captain. Saw a guy, and he was a Caucasian. He was about 5'10", navy blue sweatshirt, hood over his head, jeans, and he's kind of prowling around the back of a building. So I yelled at him, "Hi, can I help you? I'm the neighborhood block watch captain." "No." "Okay." Well, I went in the house and went upstairs and watched out the bedroom window looking at him thinking, should I call? Shouldn't I call? Should I call? Shouldn't I call? Well, Susan, where do you work? So I was dialing the non-emergency number to call in, and then I saw the guy with a lawnmower. Okay, so he was there to do lawn care. But I often ask officers when we talk about this just same thing, what would happen if I hadn't seen him with a lawnmower and you got there and you talked to him and found out he was, you know, doing lawn care? Would you be angry? They said, no. Would you be upset? No.
I'm sure they get calls all the time that don't pan out.
Right.
I watched that show, that live PD show on Friday and Saturday nights on Patrol Live. A lot of times they go there, and what bothers me is people call 911 more than they should.
Right.
You know, I watch these First Amendment auditors that are taking pictures on the sidewalk, which is perfectly legal. You can take pictures. You can stand in public. And the person says, I don't like them taking pictures of my business. And they call 911. That's not a 911 emergency.
Exactly.
That's not life or death. Some guy's taking a picture, taking video on a public sidewalk is not a 911. First of all, the guy's not doing anything wrong. Mm-hmm. And they do it, well, he was in the library taking pictures. You're allowed to take video in the library. It's a public space.
That's one of the things that we teach. When you need to call 911, it has to be an actual true emergency.
Yeah.
When my kids were little and I was working, I'd always say, is there death? Is there blood? Is there fire? Are there broken bones? Then don't call me. That's a true emergency.
I was in the 4 Mile post office the other day, and I said to the woman, do you allow video in here? Knowing they do allow it. But she said, oh, yeah. I said, because I watch these First Amendment auditors all the time. And she goes, yes, we had one in here recently. And I saw the video. It was just by happenstance. One of these national auditors was there. He took it. And one of the people, not the post office, one of the people called 911. And the cops came and said, you're allowed to be here doing this. I mean, it's a public. But they call 911 on that. So what a waste of resources.
Well, and that's unfortunate with your neighbor that gentleman ended up being handcuffed. Racine Police Department has a philosophy of community-oriented policing. They are problem solvers, not necessarily ticket givers. So when they go into a situation, they really try to find out what's going on first before they would, for example, handcuff this gentleman. Racine Police Department also has, now we have very many Hispanic officers that are willing to translate. And if you do call the non-emergency number or 911 and you do not speak English, they can transfer you over to a phone number, I mean, instantly, that will do the translations for you.
Susan Fearlock is here. We're talking about the Neighborhood Watch, Racine Neighborhood Watch, and we'll be talking about the new Dog Walker Watch program in just a moment here at WRJN. Local news and timeless hits at 7:18.
Fountain Hills Apartment in Racine has an incredibly rare opening of a one-bedroom apartment with a special extended 15-month lease. Fountain Hills in Mount Pleasant was named number one for senior living by senioradvisor.com. With amenities like on-site management and heated parking, Fountain Hills' top priority is safety with a locked lobby and thorough cleaning. Grab this rare one-bedroom apartment today at fountainhillsapartments.com or call 262-886-9200 right away.
Roll into the Lanes Hot 20, the perfect place to bowl, dine, and unwind. Fall bowling leagues are filling up fast. Plus, take advantage of our daily open bowling specials. After you strike up the fun, head on over to Angry Brothers Pub for unbeatable food and drink deals during Brewers, college, and NFL games. Start your weekend right with the Friday Fish Fry. It's the talk of the town. Planning a holiday or birthday party? The Lanes on 20 has the perfect setup for you and your crew. Yes! The fun rolls all year long at the Lanes on 20, just west of Green Bay Road.
Are your auto and home insurance rates too high? Then call the folks at Bain's AAA Insurance Agency to see if they can help save you money. Licensed in both Wisconsin and Illinois, they have been in business since 2014, serving the Racine, Mount Pleasant, Kenosha, and surrounding areas. Bain's AAA has sold thousands of customers AAA road service, auto, homeowners, condo, renters, life, and umbrella insurance, plus personalized service to fit your family's ever-evolving needs with competitive rates. Call Annette today at 262-672-4702.
Coverage is subject to all policy terms, conditions, exclusions, and limitations. Discounts and savings opportunities subject to eligibility requirements, subject to underwriting requirements. AAA Insurance is a collection of AAA branded insurance products, services, and programs made available to qualified members. Personal lines insurance is underwritten by Auto Club Group Insurance Company, Auto Club Insurance Association, and AAA Life Insurance Company.
Buying or selling a home is a big deal, literally. It's one of the largest financial transactions you're likely to make. So work with someone who will work with your best interests in mind. Someone who agrees to operate with transparency, honesty, and fairness every step of the way. Realtors are members of the National Association of Realtors and are bound by a strict code of ethics that requires they put your interests above their own. Because that's who we are. Make sure your agent is a Realtor.
Of ads interrupting your favorite news podcasts? Good news! Ad-free listening on Amazon Music is included with your Prime membership. Stay up to date on everything newsworthy with podcasts like The Daily, Up First, and Five Things Uninterrupted at amazon.com/ad-free. Just head to amazon.com/ad-free to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
WRJN, proud to be a civic media station. And now that WRJN is more focused locally on Racine with local news and timeless hits, we invite you to find all of your favorite civic media shows and hosts on the Civic Media app or by tuning to 540 AM WAUK. Earl Ingram, Jane Matinair, Todd Alba, Maggie Dawn are all still there and easy to find by simply twisting the dial. And while you're here, we hope you'll keep your button set on 99.9 FM, 98.1 FM, and the historic 1400 AM as we refresh with local news and timeless hits.
WRJN. Susan Fearlock is here. We're talking, she's from Neighborhood Watch. We're seeing Neighborhood Watch. We're talking about the new program now, the Dog Walker Watch Program. Well, that's hard to say. Dog Walker Watch Program.
Okay. D-dub-dub.
Yeah, Dog Walker. And, you know, this is brilliant because who walks the neighborhood more than dog watchers? And they do it once or twice a day, sometimes three times a day.
Absolutely.
So you're always walking the neighborhood. And what do you do when you walk in the dog? You're looking around.
Mm-hmm.
First of all, make sure nobody's going to get bit. And then you're just walking around looking. And I used to always walk the lakefront with my dog. So there's always something interesting going on there. I mean, you never know what's going to bother you there. So who came up with the idea?
Well, the Dog Walker Watch Program is actually part of the National Association of Town Watch, the people that bring you National Night Out. The Dog Walker Watch Program has been around since 2016, and currently there are over 3,100 agencies and police officers and other organizations have registered to forward this program of the Dog Walker Watch.
And, of course, people who walk, I said walk dogs, they walk them every day. When I walk my dog, I walked him. Well, we had many dogs. At one time, we were walking three at a time. that's an adventure when you got to walk three dogs. So we had two on a tether, tethered together, and the other one separate. The one that was calm was on me because you don't want them all going off in different directions. I mean, they're beagles, all of them. So when they smell something,
there they go.
They take off. But anyway, I always walk my dogs on the lakefront, and there's a part there that's kind of full of reeds and stuff. It's on the, if you're looking at North Beach, kind of on the north side. And we walk through there a lot. And I always say, what if I find a body in these reeds? What do I do? I mean, you call police, but I mean, I'd be scarred for life. I never found a dead body before. I would be terrified, especially if it's a murdered body. I mean, because you never know. Mm-hmm. I mean, I watch Dateline enough to know they throw bodies everywhere. And You found a body once, and that's got to be terrifying.
Yes, I was in a parking lot.
Weren't walking a dog, though.
No, I was not walking a dog, but I was in a parking lot and happened to glance over at a car next to me, and there was a deceased male. He had his head cocked back, kind of looked waxy, and I thought, oh, so I think this gentleman's passed away. So I knocked rather loudly on the window and on the hood and got no reaction whatsoever. So then I called the non-emergency number. Can't be an emergency. The man's already passed. So I called the non-emergency number and they sent officers out right away.
I would be terrified. I wouldn't know what I'd do. I mean, I always walk through there and I looked around to see if I see anything suspicious in there. But in some of the neighborhoods I walked with a dog, I was familiar with the houses because I did it for years, so I know. But people move, and they don't notify me and say, hey, Don, we're moving. I just wanted to know. I mean, then you see strange people walking around the house.
And that's a great way, a great premise to start a neighborhood block watch where you live. With the neighborhood block watch, we involve as many of the neighbors in the block watch program, which is corner to corner, odd and even side of the street. Mm. So then when somebody moves, you've got that network of communication that you already know, hey, Sam Smith is moving and Julian Thomas is moving into the house and his family. And it gives you a chance to approach them, meet them, and be on the same page when it comes to crime prevention and watching for suspicious behavior. A lot of times, if you ask somebody, they say, who's responsible for solving crime, preventing crime? They say police. Well, that's not true. It is a partnership between residents, neighbors, of course, and law enforcement. There aren't enough police officers to be everywhere at every time. So they count on neighbors to be the eyes and ears of a neighborhood and of an area. So when you are a dog walker or you are part of a neighborhood block watch, you are the resident expert of who and what belongs. So if you're looking for something suspicious or you're not sure what suspicious is, we talk about that in the training that we'll be giving starting October 10th for the dog walker watch program. For example, it's 95 degrees out and there's somebody wearing blue jeans and a hooded sweatshirt with the hood up. Was that suspicious? Yeah, probably.
Not illegal,
but it's suspicious. Or if somebody's pacing up or down your neighborhood, you've never seen them before. Is that suspicious? Could be. But that being that you are in that neighborhood, you have a good idea of who belongs and who doesn't.
More with Susan coming up in just a moment. It's 727 at WRJN. We're talking about the Neighborhood Watch in Racine, also the Dog Walker Watch program. But first, here's Paul Harvey and the rest of the story.
Now, the rest of the story. Hector was facing the challenge of a lifetime to make field rations palatable, even savory, for soldiers. Not everybody in the food business would have cared so much, but Hector did for several reasons. For one thing, he was an immigrant, eager to demonstrate his devotion to his adopted homeland. For another, he had an international reputation as a culinary artist to protect. For yet another, he had an expanding company of his own to promote. And for yet another, Hector now, as always, as much as he relished food, relished a challenge even more. So, when the carloads of ham and eggs backed up to his company's door, Hector pondered more profoundly than ever before in his remarkable career. How might these simple staples be transformed into something better than spam, into travel-durable delicacies for the United States Army? All right, this is the rest of the story. And there's something almost silver screen romantic about the lives and colorful careers of the great chefs, and Chef Hector was among the greatest. At the age of 10, mind you, he was apprenticing in many of the finest hotels in Europe. At 17, he was a cook at New York's Plaza Hotel. In no time, Hector was an assistant chef there, and then the head chef, then at Rector's and Claridge's, then the glamorous Ritz-Carlton. At the prestigious Hotel Greenbrier in West Virginia, he catered the wedding reception of President Woodrow Wilson. At the age of only 24, Hector moved to Cleveland, where with a staff of 40 cooks, he assumed command of the kitchens of the brand new Hotel Winston. And only 3 years after that. And in that same town, he established an exclusive restaurant all his own, the now legendary Il Giardino d'Italia. And that restaurant was unique in that customers, and he was the first, I think, to do this, customers, in order to enter or depart the restaurant, had to pass through the kitchen. He was proud of his staff. of the immaculate cleanliness of the facility. And to an increasing extent, as customers were leaving the restaurant, they would ask if perhaps Hector would be so kind as to provide them with a takeout jar of his inimitable tomato sauce. Now, don't get ahead of me, but that is how Hector's Food Company began. That is how he came to buy the old Susquehanna silk mill and then to transform it into his headquarters, the services of which he then offered to the United States government at the outbreak of World War II. Well, forgotten is the fabulous career of Chef Hector in the world's finest restaurants. Except by a few, forgotten is the wedding reception of Woodrow Wilson and even the United States Armed Forces Award for Excellence for the superior wartime rations which he produced. And the award ceremony itself, which was broadcast nationwide in June 1943. That's all almost forgotten. What's left of Hector is his likeness on a box on your grocer's shelf. And the phonetic spelling of a name now otherwise unknown. And yet once upon a time, there was a master chef who would be recognized by posterity not because of what he served his customers, but because of what he let them take home. That tomato sauce. The beginnings of the business of Hector B. Oardy, whom you know as Chef Boyardee. Only now you know the rest of the story.
Paul Harvey and the rest of the story. Learn how your business can be a sponsor of one of the most popular shows ever to air on WRJN. Call us during business hours, 262-634-3311, 262-634-3311. You could be one of four category exclusive businesses to sponsor Paul Harvey and the rest of the story. It's 732. Let's check news of the morning, see what's going on. Once again, here's Stuart.
From the WRJN Radio Park newsroom, I'm Stuart J. Waddles. Six Racine City Council members have announced a boycott of future meetings. In a joint statement, the third of the council is citing concerns over the mayor's control over the council's agenda as their main issue. The group, including Melissa Caprillion, Jeff Coe, Olivia Davis, Sandy Widener, Renee Kelly, and Henry Perez, are demanding changes to rules that allow Mayor Corey Mason to restrict items from reaching the council floor. The boycott threatens to disrupt city business. The mayor hasn't yet commented. A suspect has been arrested in connection with the bomb threat targeting Racine County government buildings. Several facilities had to close 1 week ago today. Police say 29-year-old Devon Kessler was identified through an international investigation involving multiple law enforcement agencies, some in Canada. Sheriff's investigators say they executed a search warrant and arrested Kessler at his workplace last week. They say he did confess. And Michigan Governor Gretchen Whitmer rallied supporters in Waukesha yesterday. She stressed that the Harris-Waltz campaign's focus is on creating prosperity for all Americans. Former President Donald Trump is back in the state tomorrow. He's scheduled to speak at Discovery World in Milwaukee tomorrow at 5. And that's what you need to know. I'm Stuart J. Waddles. News at the top and bottom of the hour or anytime at WRJN.com.
I'm Stephanie Huff with the Midwest Farm Report along with you on a Monday morning. Alternative feed ration ingredients could be a necessity for dairy producers if their forage quality is poor. We'll talk to a dairy nutritionist next.
Fire up the grills, gather around the table, and build a bigger appetite for pork. Celebrate National Pork Month by making pork the MVP of your tailgate. Every bite of pork you and your family enjoys comes from farmers who take pride in raising a wholesome, high-quality product. Learn more about how farmers are committed to raising animals the right way by visiting WPPA.org. While you're there, check out recipes and where you can source local pork. Brought to you by Wisconsin's Pig Farmers.
Drew Johnson is an independent dairy nutritionist with K&S Dairy Consulting. He says he's concerned about forage quality this year and recommends some alternative commodities to mix into the ration so that you can maintain your milk production goals.
Kind of my go-to dry commodity is corn gluten feed, especially if we're dealing with some poorer quality haylage. We don't get a lot of wet commodities in my area. I mean, the closest thing that we would have is the type of cranberry waste, but we don't get the sweet corn silage like some areas do. If you do, that could be a good alternative. But our beet pulp is another one, or wet beet pulp is a more digestible, like corn gluten, perhaps some soy hulls if it works into the ration. And corn is cheap, so I think when you get into a ration where the fiber digestibility is a little suspect, but you get really good cud chewing, you can kind of push the starch a little bit.
Drew Johnson along with us from K&S Dairy Consulting, serving the western half of Wisconsin. Stay tuned for a look at your morning commodity markets.
Giving back, it's at the heart of the Wisconsin farmer, and it starts with supporting the backbones of our community. That's why the Wisconsin Soybean Marketing Board invests in soy foam for our firefighters. Soy foam TF1122 is the first and only firefighting foam green screen certified at the gold level. As a PFAS-free firefighting foam, it's safe for you and the environment. A safe future for your community. Thanks to your soy checkoff. Learn more at wisoybean.org.
Commodity prices are kicking off the week in the red. December corn trading down 2.25 cents at 4.15¾. November soybeans down 11.5 cents at 10.54¼. Cash wheat is down 2¾ cents at 5.77¼. July 2025 new crop wheat is also down 2¾ cents, trading at 6.13½. From Chicago, the fluid milk prices are also trading lower. The October Class 3 milk price is down 6 cents at 23.06 a hundredweight. The November contract is down 18 cents at 22.31. That's a look at your commodity prices on a Monday morning. For the Midwest Farm Report, I'm Stephanie Hoff.
Mostly sunny today. We're headed to 74 for a high this afternoon. The wind out of the east to south at around 5 to 15. Tonight, partly cloudy, 59. A cold front's going to zip through late tonight. Tomorrow, sunny, breezy, and a bit cooler with a high of only 68. I'm meteorologist Sean Cable. Currently, it is 60.
I am confounded by people who are confused by daylight savings time. It's an hour. That's all it is. It's an hour. Twice a year, it's an hour. You make the adjustment. You can't get thrown out of whack by that. But you hear people say things like, I'm sorry, I'm all screwed up because of daylight savings time. If you find yourself saying that, you might as well just say, I'm not good at talking, so I just let my mouth open up and let things fall out of it because I don't with words. It's an hour. It's an hour. You didn't just get off a plane from Australia? It's an hour. Oh, what's happening? What strange world is this? What's going on? Is this milk still good? Who's the president now? Is that an electric car? Do I have a big bushy beard? What's that?
Right, good morning, 7:38 at WRJ, and I'm Don Rosen. We have Susan Fearlock here from the Racine Neighborhood Watch Program, and an offshoot of that program is the Dog Walker Watch Program. You got a dog, you walk your dog, you can be part of the program. But you want people to register and train because you can't be like Gladys Kravitz on Bewitched looking out the window and Abner.
Yeah, absolutely.
And calling the police on everybody that gives you the evil eye.
Right, right. Well, we launched this program at Party on the Pavement, and the first training that we'll be offering is on Thursday, October 10th at 6 o'clock at the City Hall Annex. They can call us at 637-5711, or they can go to our Facebook page and send us a message there. One of the other things, I was promoted to executive director in February, and since then we've done a lot of new and exciting things. We have a new logo, we've launched a brand new website, and we started with this program. So going forward with some of these new program ideas is that we are going to be working on creating a video to put on a YouTube channel where people can train from home. And they don't necessarily have to come and, you know, be with other people if that's not good for their schedules, but they can train from home. That's all in the future. And as a nonprofit, it depends too on funding. So we're always looking for donations.
So how do you have to train? I mean, I thought you see something, you call somebody. Remember that phrase?
Yes.
You see something, you call somebody.
Yes. And people are kind of hesitant. They're not sure what a specifically suspicious behavior is. And so a part of the training is we will talk about suspicious activity. For example, it's 95 degrees out and an individual is walking in your neighborhood with long jeans on and a heavy hooded sweatshirt with the hood up, walking back and forth. Is that suspicious? Well, yeah, kind of, because it's a little bit hot to be wearing.
Yeah, but that's every teenager walks around like that. I see them all the time, and I say, what are you walking around the hood for? It's the style.
Right, but the idea is this person walking up and down your neighborhood? Is this person going in and out of driveways? What is the activity associated with that person? Another thing is if you see a truck that's parked in front of a home, and it's not familiar to you, and maybe that truck is there for 3-4 days in the same place. Now, police driving by, seeing this truck parked there that has a license plate on it, wouldn't have cause to stop and give it a second thought. But you as a neighbor know, hey, I haven't seen this before. What is this truck doing here? So then you call the non-emergency number and ask for a community service officer to check out, you know, parking violations. If you hear screaming and it seems, and you can tell the difference between kids screaming and playing and terrified screaming,
yeah.
You hear that screaming, you call and say, hey, I'm in the 1400 block of Smith Street and I hear screaming and I'd really like, I think we need to do a welfare check, a safety check. And when you call law enforcement, one of three things can happen. You can say, yes, I want to see a law enforcement officer, or no, I don't want to see a law enforcement officer, but here's my phone number, or I want to remain anonymous. Another thing that we encourage people to do and teach about is getting a complaint number. So let's say you call in and you have that screaming and you want to do a welfare check. You ask the call taker or the dispatcher that, you know, hey, I want a complaint number. That way you know it's recorded in their system as well.
Let me give that phone number out again. It's 262. What do you think? Well, I got it. Let's wait. My eyes aren't what they used to be. 262-637-5711.
Correct.
5711. And there's a text with it as well. Now, where can they get this flyer that I have?
Send an email, and I can send you a PDF. We're also taking them to different vets in general. We're hoping to stop at some of the doggy daycares and drop them off.
Oh, yeah, that's a good idea.
Yep,
yeah.
Anybody can be a dog watcher. In fact, we launched it on our Facebook page on Friday, and I had a lady text or send a message to me saying, hey, my dog's passed away, but I walk down by the lake all the time. Can I be part of this program? And I said, absolutely. The more eyes we have out on the street for things that are out of the ordinary, you have to trust your gut. You have to have that spidey sense where your hair's kind of standing up in the back of your neck and you go, this just isn't right.
And if you see someone trying a car door, that's okay. But if you see him trying two cars doors, then you got a problem.
Absolutely.
Because nobody's going to try multiple car doors unless they own all the cars, and what are the chances of that happening? So if you see somebody trying a car door, all right, keep an eye on it. If they open it, try another one. Now you got something here.
Well, and here's another example that we talk about. Is there drug activity in your neighborhood? Sometimes you'll see a car drive up to a home in a neighborhood, somebody run up to the house, run back. Or a car stops in a neighborhood, somebody runs out to the car, and back. And you kind of notice this hand-to-hand transaction. Is that drug activity? Maybe, could be, I don't know. What you want to do is really watch for patterns. Because if it's a one-off, you call police. It's kind of a needle in a haystack type of thing.
And not 911.
No.
This is their non-emergency number.
And the thing is, by the time police get there, they'll be gone. But you want to look for patterns and different activities that may be reoccurring. If you're not, snap a picture if you're safe and upload it to Crime.
Oh, that's good.
Crime,
yeah.
Stoppers. Yep, but make sure you're safe. Your safety is always important first and foremost.
Can they trace that picture? I guess you can. All that information there is embedded in the picture.
You're uploading it to Crime Stoppers. And
well,
Crime Stoppers guarantees
it, yeah.
Your anonymity.
Yeah.
Or if you snap a picture and maybe you call dispatch and they say go and file it on our online reporting what's the word I want? site, then you can upload it there.
So this happened, I guess, a year ago. Yeah, it was a year ago. So I pull into this guy's driveway. This was on 4 Mile. And I pull into the driveway. I roll down my window. He meets me from his house. I hand him some cash. He hands me a package. And I drive away. Looks like a drug deal. I was buying honey. His daughter has a beekeeper, and she has local honey. And my wife loves local honey. And I was buying her a gift. And I bought this giant jar of local honey. So I had to go to his house, hand him the cash, roll down my window. He met me there and handed me this bag.
Well, again, it's...
But yeah, now, anybody walking down the street, that looks like a drug deal.
Right, right. And a person would be within their right to call and report that. Again, for the long term and looking for maybe drug dealing or a drug house or a drug activity, you want to look for those repeat patterns.
No. I don't know. It's kind of a nervous. I know some people just, they want to be, you know, sleuths and they want to solve crimes and stuff. I would get nervous. I'm not, you know, Columbo and I'm not, you know, Hercule Poirot. I mean, that's not me.
It's always using common sense as well. I have the Neighbors app downloaded to my phone, which a lot of people use with their Ring doorbell, and they will post pictures of, hey, look, this person's in my neighborhood checking door handles.
Oh, yeah, I see that on the Ring thing all the time.
And you know what? Do you ever see people, they don't call police.
Yeah, I see this all the time on the Ring thing, because if you have a Ring camera, you're on this neighborhood network thing. And all day long, guy trying car doors, guy walking around my backyard. And sometimes they'll have a video of it so you can identify the person, which is really neat. But yeah, I mean, if somebody's trying your car door in your driveway, call the police. It's not his car or her car. You very rarely see women doing this, but it's generally young guys doing it. I mean, if they're trying the car door or if they're walking around your backyard. I had a guy, it was late at night, and the Ring thing went off, and this guy's sitting on my porch in a chair. So I called the police, and the police knew the guy because he does this. He's an older guy, and he just walks around and sits on people's porch at 10 o'clock at night. And it's kind of spooky when you look out the window, and there's some guy sitting on your porch. And he just said, okay, I'll go. And he never went. So the cops said, come on, let's go. So he went probably to another neighbor's house and sat on the porch. Kind of felt bad for him because he had nowhere to go. But my porch is not going to be your hangout.
Right.
I'm not going to set up a pup tent here and
exactly.
serve you breakfast on my porch. Hang in there. We're talking to Susan Fearlock from Racine Neighborhood Watch and the new Dog Walker Watch Program. How do you get involved? We're going to tell you in just a moment here. 747 at WRJN. Sunshine today with a high near 75, partly cloudy, low 62 tonight. Sunday tomorrow, 68 the high. Right now, it's clear and sunny, 64 degrees here at Radio Park.
Vince Lombardi once said, the measure of who we are is what we do with what we have. The team at Easy Mobility Solutions is dedicated to helping you make the most of every moment by reclaiming your freedom. As a care credit provider and Southeastern Wisconsin's trusted source for power mobility solutions, Easy Mobility Solutions offers a variety of Golden and Pride scooters and power chairs. Lightweight, durable, portable, affordable. Visit the Easy Mobility Solutions showroom across the street from the old Kmart on Douglas Avenue in Racine.
Roll into the Lanes Hot 20, the perfect place to bowl, dine, and unwind. Fall bowling leagues are filling up fast. Plus, take advantage of our daily open bowling specials. After you strike up the fun, head on over to Angry Brothers Pub for unbeatable food and drink deals during Brewers, college, and NFL games. Start your weekend right with the Friday Fish Fry. It's the talk of the town. Planning a holiday or birthday party? The Lanes on 20 has the perfect setup for you and your crew. Yes! The fun rolls all year long at the Lanes on 20, just west of Green Bay Road.
Hospice Alliance. Not all volunteers work directly with our patients. Some help with special projects, office work, mailings, check-in phone calls, and much more. Anything you want to do, Hospice Alliance has a volunteer role for you. Serving patients and families in Racine, Kenosha, Southern Milwaukee, and Eastern Walworth counties. If you'd like to learn more about Hospice Alliance's services or assisting in our mission, visit hospicealliance.org.
This update is sponsored by UW Credit Union. For every stage of life, UW Credit Union is here for every you. The Brewers and U.S. Cellular are celebrating the outstanding educators in our community with the Grand Slam Teacher of the Month Award. Visit brewers.com/teacher to learn more and nominate an educator today. Join UW Credit Union at uwcu.org. Insured by NCUA.
Farmers in Wisconsin have always been ahead of the times, and it's no different in the mid-1800s. George Esterly was running a large wheat farm outside of Whitewater, but reaping his crop by hand was back-breaking work. Esterly invented a mechanical harvesting machine and used it in his own fields in 1844. He then won a Chicago Mechanics Gold Medal 4 years later. But was he the first in the country to build a harvesting machine? The answer is coming up. Esterly followed up his win by opening a factory in the Whitewater area, building the harvesting machines and eventually other farm equipment too. By the 1880s, 500 people worked there. So was Esterly the first in the country to build a new mechanical harvesting machine? Yes. This man's early farm invention lives on as a remarkable slice of Wisconsin. I'm Terry Barr.
Susan Fearlock is here from Racine Neighborhood Watch. We're talking about the new dog walker watch program. Now, people are coming in and out this whole hour, so they might not have heard some of the stuff we were talking about. If you got a dog, you probably walk the dog. And when you walk that dog every day, it's probably in the same neighborhood. People are very habitual about this. They walk the dogs on the same route every day. So you see what's normal in a neighborhood every day. You see what's normal. The same people coming out, the same, you know, people walking around their house, and all of a sudden you notice, huh, that's strange. I never noticed that before. And that's when you don't call the police at that point. What do you do? I mean, because maybe they have relatives visiting. You don't want to call the, you know, they're coming from Plover, and all of a sudden they're visiting, and you're calling the cops on them. So what do you, you said look for a pattern of this happening?
Absolutely. So, like the example you had before with a truck that was parked in front of your house for 3-4 days without being moved, without a license plate, that's suspicious.
We call the police.
And as well you should have.
Yeah, but it wasn't a good idea.
But it's a, that's a whole different
story.
Actually,
I didn't say it was us, but you just assumed it was us. Now, I did have a truck in front of my house once. It was a box truck. And it was a guy across the street, but it had no license plate. It was expired. Cops did nothing. They did nothing. I said, but the license plate's expired. Yeah.
Well, that's a little different now. Racine, the City of Racine Police Department does have what are called community service officers, CSOs.
So I see them on their vans,
You can call and say, hey, there's a car parked in front of my house. I don't recognize it. Its plates are expired. Can you come out and check it out?
Well, eventually they took him away in handcuffs, and I have the photographs of him with cuffs on him. I'll show you the photograph.
Again, suspicious behavior. A car you don't recognize with expired plates parked in your neighborhood.
Yeah, they took him away in handcuffs.
Well, the beauty part about this program with the Dog Walker Watch program, too, is that you can live in any community to participate. You can be in Mount Pleasant or Caledonia or Sturtevant.
Yeah, this
or
is not
Burlington.
Just Racine.
No, we're offering this to the whole of Racine County because it's people who are out walking in the dogs, knowing what to look for and how to report it effectively to police. And that's the key, making people feel confident. A lot of times, like we were talking about before, should I call, shouldn't I call, should I call, shouldn't. Well, we'll give you the tools to know when it's a good idea to call.
And number one, you're not a cop, so don't do anything.
Oh, absolutely. Not vigilantism
at all. You don't want somebody walking up, hey, get over here. You don't have to mind your business and just call the police. That's what they get paid for.
Yeah, right.
You don't get paid to do that.
And again, trust that spidey sense that you have. You kind of know if something doesn't belong. Years ago, there was a lady. She was out walking her grandchild in a stroller around the block. And she noticed a younger, maybe early teenage kid, and he was riding his bicycle around the neighborhood on a typical school day and rides his bike into the back of somebody's home. And she thought, well, that's kind of weird. Why is this kid not in school? And then she argued with herself saying, maybe he's homeschooled. Okay, maybe he's homeschooled. So she just kind of dismissed it, but still had that uncomfortable feeling. Well, next day, come to find out from the neighbors, because they were alley neighbors on the other side of the block, that this person was supposed to be in school, and this teen or preteen broke into the home and stole a lot of electronics.
There's a picture of him in cuffs in front of my house.
There you go. Mm-hmm.
They got him! What happened was he has a pickup truck across the street, and he fell asleep. And the truck just rolled into our driveway,
there
just missed our car in front of the house.
I see that.
Could have had a major accident on Main Street there.
Sure.
And he just, I don't know, he was kind of a weird, odd duck.
And but remember, too, police aren't going to stop someone unless they have probable cause.
Yeah, they can't just ask, show me your ID. There's not a stop in ID state.
Exactly.
So, yeah, just mind your business and let the cops worry about it. So if you see something,
say something.
That's it. Mm-hmm. If you see something, say something. That came out of 9/11.
It did. It's kind of a trademarked slogan.
Is it really?
Because you can't use it with Crime Stoppers. So we say, see it, report it.
Mm-hmm. Who trademarked it?
I don't know. I just...
That's kind of an odd thing to trademark.
It's just kind of associated with 9/11.
Yeah. Okay. Let's do a quick review here. Now, you register because you need classes, so you know what to look for, you know how to act. And
the dog
doesn't need to go.
No.
Okay.
No, the class is less than an hour. Again, we just provide you tips and informations and takeaways on how to feel comfortable and confident calling law enforcement, giving you the options, the different ways you can contact them, and how to look for suspicious behavior. What is truly suspicious behavior?
Let me give you a couple of phone numbers, and I'll give you the email address, okay? So get your pants on. I'm going to say them twice. You can call 262-637-5711. That's 262-637-5711. Or you can text 262-417-4795. That's 262-417-4795. Or you can email info@racinenw.org. That's info@racinenw.org. And if you got to get these numbers, you can text me or whatever here at the station, or call and I'll give them to you.
Or if you're on Facebook, we've got a Facebook page, Racine Neighborhood Watch.
Yeah, everybody's got a Facebook page.
Mm-hmm.
Young people don't anymore, though.
Yeah,
you talk to a young person, Facebook,
yeah.
Oh, that's my grandmother.
We've looked into Instagram. We're not quite there yet.
Yeah, I'm barely at Facebook. I don't like to post stuff, but I love to read my friends and stuff.
Mm-hmm.
I have very few friends. I'm very selective who my friends are. All right, the Dog Watcher volunteer benefits. You contribute to neighborhood safety by acting as the eyes and ears of law enforcement. It requires no additional time, no bit of effort. It doesn't, because you're walking your dog anyway.
A little bit of effort, yep.
Well, because you're walking your dog.
Right. Take your earphone or your earbuds out and listen.
Of course, you got to watch your dog pooping, because you got to pick it up.
That's true, too.
Keep your eye on that. Builds community with neighbors and other dog walkers. And recognition for you and your dog.
Oh, we have contests and all sorts of really great things.
Yeah, you have a couple of beagles on here. I had a beagle. I had all beagles. I had one Pomeranian who wouldn't help you at all. And she just minded her own business. But beagles, they love to investigate. They love to sniff around. It says Dog Walker Watch is a community-based, community-building crime awareness program of the National Association of Town Watch and Racine Neighborhood Watch. You're involved with the whole country, huh?
Yes.
You ever catch any big crooks in Neighborhood Watch?
We don't catch the crooks. Police do.
I know, but do you ever report somebody turned out to be a big crook?
Not that I can specifically say off the top of my head.
I mean,
we empower neighbors to give information to law enforcement.
You didn't break a big crime ring or anything. You don't know.
I don't. But if it happened because somebody called law enforcement,
that's good.
They're not going to tell us.
Okay, that's good. All right. So, and you can't say it, but I'll say it. If you see something, say something and call the non-emergency police, unless you see something that's an emergency, I guess.
Or get a hold of Crime Stoppers.
I can't think of me any in all the years I walk that dog every day. I've never seen anything suspicious. I mean, I see people sitting on a bench that look kind of weird, but that's not a crime to look weird.
Right. And again, that's the volunteer part of it. Just keep your eyes and ears open. If you see something, say something. And if you're fortunate where you don't ever observe anything, then you are very fortunate.
One more thing, to be a volunteer for the Dog Watcher program, you just telephone 262-637-5711, 262-637-5711. You can email info@racinenw.org or just check out the Facebook page for Racine Neighborhood Watch.
Yep.
And it's on there. Thank you, Susan.
Thank you.
Susan Fearlock is your executive director of Racine Neighborhood Watch. That's a good idea, dog walker, because people will walk it anyway.
Thank you.
Do something while they're walking. That's
absolutely
a good idea.
Thank you.
Hey, good morning. It's 8 o'clock on the noggin. Thank you, Susan. It's 8 o'clock on the noggin here at WRJN. And guess what? It's news time. Let's do it.